بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One person expressed his desire and his longing to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi told him, آپ کے حوصلے تو بہت ہی بلند ہیں, ہم تو گنبد خدرا کو دیکھنے کو بہت ہی عظیم و شان چیز سمجھتے ہیں. وی کنسیڈر جسٹ سائٹنگ اینڈ لکنگ ایٹ دا گرین ڈوم, وی کنسیڈر اٹ ایز اے گریٹ آنر, ایز اے گریٹ پریولیج. And your aspirations are so high that you wish to see Rasul-e-Pak-Sum directly. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi really taught the lesson of Abdiyat, Fana'iyat. I was explaining yesterday that in any given situation, the servant's work is to try and determine what servitude requires. First, understand that you are a servant. As a servant, then what does servitude require of you? Don't express what you would like it to be. Rather, you try and work out what does servitude require of you. The person that thinks about servitude, then he's on the mark, he's on the cause, he's working correctly. Generally, our belief about the grave is very vague. Most of us feel it is just a pit. You are thrown into the pit and that's the end of you. Whereas in Islam, it's a life on its own, and real life starts off at that point. Hafiz Shirazi rahmatullah alayh, he says it very beautifully. He says, Khuram aroz kazi manzila vayra biram. I will really be rejoicing on the day that I will leave the precincts of this desolate place. This place is desolate, this place is deserted, this place is meant to be deserted. So the day that I will leave this deserted place, then that's the day of rejoice. That's the day that I aspire for, that's the day that I long to see. So for the Ahlullah and for the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really death is a happy occasion. It's a very happy and a very rejoiceful moment. Although overall, we all fear death. Nobody should be proud of himself. It's a moment that we find difficult. A moment of separation, moment that we will be separated from our dear, near ones perpetually. So we feel difficult for that moment, feel difficult thinking about that moment. One Mulana was here, so he was explaining about his Ustad in Darulum Deoband. And the frankness, the clarity that they spoke with, it says that the year that we reached Deoband, it was the year that the Shaykhul Hadith had passed away. Maybe about 3 months, 4 months into that year, and he passed away. Known as Mawlana Sharifur Hasan Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, Allah ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. So, this Ustad was about the first person that was notified about the death of Mawlana Sharifur Rehman Sahab, and he had to come and arrange. Perhaps he was the first one that was notified, the first senior, and he was notified. So being notified, he had to come to the spot and see now what he can arrange. So it says that this person came and told me about it, and I came to see the face of Mawlana Sharifur Rehman Sahab the first time. The Ustad is saying the first time seeing face to face man that has passed away just within seconds, and he's passed away, and first time I'm seeing this. So it sent such a shiver on my spine that I couldn't sleep that entire night. I look to my right, I see Mawlana Sharif Sahab. I look to my left, I see Mawlana Sharif Sahab. I look above, I see Mawlana Sharif Sahab. Got a shiver. So this is the true feeling, see, the true feeling that you experience when it is your first encounter with death. Right? So this is a fear, and to hide away from the fear is not the right thing. To say that this is how I felt, right? This is modesty, this is truth, this is clarity. You feel like that, all of us feel difficult. Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha herself expressed her concerns about death, her concerns about maut. She expressed her concerns. So Rasulullah Paksam explained to her that it isn't like how you feel. Rather, when a believer approaches death, then Allah Ta'ala makes it appealing for him, and then he desires for death. That scenery is open, and when that scenery is open of the hereafter, then that death becomes appealing for him. When it becomes appealing for him, then he looks forward to the journey. When he looks forward to the journey, Allah Ta'ala loves him. But as far as the unbeliever is concerned, then he's shown his abode in the hereafter. He is not at all excited about the journey. He looks and he turns away from that. When he turns away, he is disgusted. He dislikes meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala also dislikes meeting him. So a believer embraces death differently, and an unbeliever embraces death differently. Overall, seeing Rasulullah Paak Sosam is a blessing. It's a blessing. Allah Ta'ala grants it. Many people get it in this life. If someone did not experience it, then don't feel that you are backwards in any way. Therefore, the awliya-i kiram explain that there are two types of awliya. One, who go through certain karamat and certain miracles in this life. Certain miracles and certain things that are not normally visible, then you go through it in this life. And there are those that don't experience any of these things, but both are the ranks of awliya. So they say that those that do not experience anything, in fact, their rank and their position is higher than those that see in certain things. For they have been given part of the reward in this world. So when they have been given part of the reward in this world, so they have enjoyed some portion, and the others haven't enjoyed any portion. So when they haven't enjoyed any portion, so their reward will be even greater. So, the one that didn't experience any dream, any type of experience, this type of experience, then he mustn't feel disgusted within himself. And the one that has gone through some experience, he mustn't feel too pious about himself, mustn't feel too great about himself. Both this person and that person, both are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Overall, Allah ta'ala blesses all his servants. Everybody gets an opportunity, gets a chance. And he gets some type of khush khabri, some type of bushra, some type of glad news. One woman in Stanger recently, may have passed away now about 2 or 3 years ago. So she went to visit a sick person. Perhaps it was her sister, whoever else, she went to visit her. In that same street, or perhaps the next street, she visited her and she was on the return. On the return, now she tells the cousin or the friend that is accompanying her that I think you are mistaken. I see a beautiful orchard, and I see these type of trees, and it's a different spectacle on its own, palaces and orchards and fruit trees and streams and whatever else. She said, no, you're mistaken. And this friend of hers explained, this is the street here, this is this street, this is this street. Don't you see? No, you're misguiding me, misleading me. And she kept on seeing one scene after the other, like how we talk about the streams of Jannat, the palaces of Jannat, the gardens and the orchards of Jannat. And she said, I'm seeing this and I'm seeing this and I'm seeing this. She's in her senses, she's speaking right. She's not asleep, she's walking with her friend and they are coming back home. So some people are shown this in life. And what really she was shown is the reward for visiting a sikh. You go and visit a sikh, then you get a garden in Jannat. So this garden was shown to her in life. So many people see these things in life, they see it. Right? Some people see it after they pass away. Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, he shows numerous incidents where people had seen Rasulullah Pasam in life. Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayh had seen Rasulullah Pasam in life approximately 17 times. Not one time, not two times, 17 times he had seen Rasulullah Pasam in life. As Shaykhul Hadith Muhammad Zakariya sahab rahmatullah alayh, in the state of Sajda he had seen Rasulullah Pasam. And then he asked many of his mureedin and students and other ulama as well that what is greater, the one that seen Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in life and the one that sees Rasulullah Sallam in his dream, what is greater? When you say life means after Rasulullah Sallam had left the world, you've seen him in life or you've seen him in your dream, what's greater? So every person replied according to his understanding and according to his capacity. Al-Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah explained that in my understanding, the one that sees Rasulullah Sallam in his dream is greater than the one that sees Rasulullah Sallam in life. So the Shaykh Rahmatullah wasn't very impressed with the answer and he says, why do you say that the one that had seen it in the dream is greater than the one that sees it alive? The Musa explained that as far as life, the person sees Rasulullah in life, then he is not absolutely clear about seeing Rasulullah because this is not guaranteed in the Hadith. It is not guaranteed in the Hadith. It is possible that his mind may have formulated a shape and a form and he has seen this form and this shape in life. But as far as seeing Rasulullah in the dream, this has been guaranteed. مَنْ رَآنِي فَقَدْ رَآنِي فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. So this has been guaranteed. And that is not guaranteed. So when that is not guaranteed, then this may be of a lesser nature than the first one. The Shaykh Rahmatullah had come for his i'tikaf in Sahanpur perhaps. Very crowded, very, very crowded. And one person from Surat, Khalid Manyar, a very, very wealthy family in Surat, clothing shop they've got. So he came to the Sheikh Ramtali's cubicle, right near the bed, and he speaks, he says, we only seen Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we had only the blessings of seeing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, there I'm sitting there in a crowded area, I can see the movement. And then suddenly in my wakeful state, I can see as though the whole scene has changed into the day of Qiyamah. I'm awake, I'm sitting there, I'm not sleeping, I'm fully in my conscious, and I'm fully conscious of what's going on. I see now it's a spectacle of the day of Qiyamah. People are running for sanctuary, everybody's running helter-skelter. Then at a distance I see the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I see a group of people under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I also move in that direction. As I move in that direction, I see a dim ray of noor and light coming from that direction. I move in the direction of the noor. As I move in the direction of the noor, I see some people that I am acquainted with, some of my family people and others that I am acquainted with. I see them under the arsh. May Allah Ta'ala grant us also the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I approach this and I come there. Then I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm very excited, very, very, very grateful that I'm seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I request of Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, that grant me your sifarish and your shafaat, your intercession on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah agrees, inshallah, I will intercede on your behalf. So these experiences many people do have. Those that do experience, they shouldn't feel proud of themselves. Those that do not experience shouldn't feel despondent and shouldn't feel that they are left out. Mutarrif ibn Abdullah is a great muhaddis and a Sufi as well. And he was living in a village area, like how you find Snimba, that you don't perform your Jummah namazes in this village. So he would walk to the town and perform his Jummah namazes in the town. Now, en route, he has to come through a Qabristan. On that day, now he's walking through the Qabristan, en route to the town, and he sees, in life he sees, that all the dead have come out of their graves, and they're standing beside their graves. And the dead are speaking to each other, that see, look at Mutarrif ibn Abdullah, he's going towards Jummah Nawaz. They know him by name, and they know the intention that he's got. That see Mutarrif ibn Abdullah, and see he's proceeding for Jummah Nawaz. So this is a life on its own, and in Islam we don't feel, as I said earlier on, it's a pit, you know, that you are just thrown there and after that it's desolate and it's dark spot now, and you will remain motionless, you will remain like this right till the day of Qiyamah. Don't feel like that. In Sahanpur, how you have it, some youngsters, they are more of the exploring type. They want to go and see what's happening here, what's there, and they're going to visit the town and all that. But the Sheikh heard about it. He was disgusted. He wasn't very happy about this. And then he had a different approach. He had a different approach to explain people. He wouldn't shout. So in a general address, he says, what's left, what's in these things here? What's to see in these things here? If you just cut yourself off from the world, look down, and you'll see so many things that you'll forget all these things that you are looking at. In other words, if you mentally also, you cut and you dissociate yourself from all these other things, then you'll find that there's so many exciting, more pleasant things to see. Allah will open your eyes and you will see different things. We have the instance of pious people, one person reading Witr Namaz, and that Witr Namaz, and suddenly the whole spectacle of Jannat opens out to him, and he's so engrossed in the spectacle that it is almost about Fajr time, and his eyes open up. He comes back to his senses. So this happens. It happens to many people, but it happens at a time where you have cut yourself off mentally from all material. Our attachment to the material is too great. So because of this great attachment to the material, we can't possibly see the things that are in the next realm. See. But when the attachment to the material world begins to decrease, and then the attachment to the hereafter begins to increase. Attachment to this material, to people, to creation, etc., all become less. And then the attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah begins to increase, like it is in this verse, وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. Allah ta'ala opens a horizon that was all shut off for you for some time. The horizon was completely sealed off, it was blocked off. But because now you have shut yourself off from the material, now when that material doesn't have that type of attraction in your eyes any longer, it hasn't consumed you, you have got out the clutches of this material. When you've got off this clutches of this material, now you're coming into the spiritual realm, right? You are getting ushered, you're getting admitted, right? So now you're seeing a different spectacle. So this happens, Allah Ta'ala blesses it to many people, but you get blessed with this when the material doesn't mean much to you now. Using it just because you have to use it, like how the toilet, you use it because you have to use it. You don't glorify it, you don't adorn it, you don't talk much about it. If it comes, it comes. If it's lost, it's lost. It's not a thing to admire and to glorify. So when you come to that point, where you don't glorify it, you don't think much about it, you don't consider it to be a serious thing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens your eyes towards the next realm. But as long as you glorify it, you think great about it, you attach a lot of importance to it, then these eyes are blocked off, then you can't see beyond. So the right thing in this duration, when you are in i'tikaf, is try and block your minds off also from all the material. Unnecessarily don't speak about anything that will connect you to the material. Our eyes, our hearts are so consumed by the material. In namaz also, now you think about this friend here, that friend, this picture, that picture, what you saw in that safar, and what you saw here, what you saw there. So all those flashbacks are coming into your mind. So the material connection is so great. Material connection is so great, it doesn't allow you to see anything of the hereafter. Whether it is food, whether it is people, whether it is other material, any other material thing, but your attachment is so great that it won't let you to see things beyond the material. Right? It won't allow you to see. So you don't see the things beyond the material, and therefore your aspiration, your yearning towards these things is not like it's supposed to be. So when you cut your heart off of this material, then you see the yearning is increasing. You're beginning to understand, now it becomes a reality. Even if you don't see it, then too it becomes a reality as though you're watching it. Imagine as though you are seeing it. Though you did not see it, but as though it becomes so vivid and so graphic and so clear as though you are watching it. So this comes, as I said, when your mind is cleared from the material. The more you clear your mind from the material, the more the attachment decreases. Then these things open up. Here, in this world, what happens to us, our attachment is such now, we think, oh, we must have this type of food, and we must have that type of party, then must get married to this type of girl, must have this type of building and this type of home, with this type of finishes and that type of investment and that type of business and that type of money rotating and revolving all the time. See? So your heart is being consumed by what? By material. Right? It doesn't give you the chance. You are not giving yourself a chance to look into the spiritual because it's been consumed by the material. So you have to block it off. How you block it off? Then you block your eyes, your tongue, your ears and your heart. Eyes you will block off from seeing unnecessarily. Don't look at things unnecessarily. Even though it is things in the masjid, don't look at it unnecessarily. Just focus on one thing, on Allah Ta'ala. Focus on the hereafter. Just. Then if you have to talk, then just in proportion to necessary, what is required. Don't get involved. Don't get caught into any type of conversation, any type of talk. Don't. And if you have to hear, then don't overhear. anything that doesn't concern you. Yeah, it's genuine, you have to listen to it. It is something that is ready to you, then you will listen to it. Otherwise, just do as though you didn't hear it. So your eyes has been blocked off, your mouth has been blocked off, your ears have been blocked off, all cleared off. And then similarly your heart, then your heart also, don't let it run towards now, what am I going to eat for iftar, what's going to be there for sehri, and I hope this comes here, and this roast must come, and this fry must come, and that samosa with that chutney, and the chutney must be so hot. So now your whole heart has been consumed by the material, and it's consumed by the material. Now how are you going to see beyond? How are you going to taste the thing that is beyond? You're not going to taste it, you're not going to see it, and you're not going to have any type of enjoyment about the things that are beyond. So now, in this few little days now, you've got about 18 days, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think like this, let your heart get locked up in these things. Right? So just seal your eyes, seal your tongues, your ears, your heart, as I explained, and then afterwards you will see the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq.